Justice delayed is justice denied. We live in a world of injustice. Even Christians are often treated with injustice. But how should we respond to injustice? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio now as we take a look in the book.
All right, open your Bibles to Acts 25. Acts 25. The 25th chapter of Acts. When you find it, say, I got it. Y'all are pretty fast. Amen. Acts 25. I'm going to go on and give you the title of my sermon because I'm going to read this as I'm preaching this morning. So let me just go on and give you my title right now, if that would be all right. Can I do a change up? Right. You know, a pitcher sometime, that I listen to the announcers. They say he struck him out with the change up. So can I throw a change up this morning? All right. All right. The title is, When Justice is Denied. When justice is being denied. When justice is being denied. High five somebody and tell them Pastor gonna talk about when justice is being denied. When justice is being denied. God bless you. You may be seated. When justice is being denied. William Gladstone said, justice delayed is justice denied. We have been studying the last few weeks the life of the Apostle Paul. And when we are looking at Paul's life, we can see that Paul had been going through something, and the justice system had failed Paul. Justice was being delayed. As a result, justice is being denied. The Apostle Paul, you can recall, had went to Jerusalem on a mission to carry them a missionary offering. And he stopped by the temple to worship the Lord. And as he was worshiping the Lord, some people accused Paul of bringing in some Gentiles into the temple and defiling the temple. And they pulled Paul off his knees and dragged Paul out of the temple. And they began to just about beat Paul to death. Even a mob had gotten involved. And they had to get 200 soldiers to break up the fight and to rescue Paul. And Paul even asked the soldiers for an opportunity to speak to the people. That way they could get his side of the story. Paul Harvey always talk about the rest of the story. See, the Bible says don't be so quick to hear just one side of the story. Make sure you hear the other side of the story. And Paul began to tell his side of the story. And folks didn't want to hear his side of the story. The Bible says that when he started talking about how that God done opened this thing up, not only just for Jews, but the Gentiles can be saved. The Bible says they began to start pulling off their clothes and start throwing dust in the air, and a mob reaction broke out again. So the soldiers had to hurry up and get Paul into the barracks. But as a result, they had arrested Paul on false charges. That's a case of injustice. As a matter of fact, they brought Paul there before the governor Felix. And Paul began to testify there before Felix because the Jews had hired a hired gun. They had hired somebody that could speak well. You know, people are impressed with folks that can speak well. They are impressed with silver tongue kind of people. And they had hired this orator. And this man began to start bringing all kind of accusations against the Apostle Paul. But Paul just got up and told him, you can't prove none of these accusations. And he said, Felix, you know that none of these accusations are even true. But Felix, because he wanted to please the people, he decided not to let Paul go away free. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was expecting some money from Paul. Since Paul had brought some money there to the temple there to Jerusalem, he figured that Paul had a money connection. And so since he brought them some money, I'll just keep him in jail until he start bringing me some money. But Paul was a man of integrity. He didn't stoop to bribery and blackmail. Paul was a man of character, a man of good moral reputation. And so the Apostle Paul, he didn't stoop to that kind of tactic. And as a result, Felix left Paul in jail for 2 more years. His justice now is being delayed. And when justice is being delayed, then justice is being denied. But a new governor came, and we pick up the story here in chapter 25. A new governor by the name of Festus, he came on the scene. And let's just read through chapter 25. Are y'all going to go with me this morning? Y'all going to go with me? I'm going to have to go by myself. Notice the text. The Bible says, now, when Festus was coming to the providence, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. In other words, his base was Caesarea, but after being in Caesarea for 3 days, he went to Jerusalem. Why in Jerusalem? Because there in Jerusalem, that was the center of Jewish life, and the Jewish leaders was there in Jerusalem. And so the Bible says, verse number 2, then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. Now notice, 2 years done passed, and they still got Paul on their mind. There are some other things that needs to be talked about if the governor is going to visit other than just a prisoner. But they got Paul on the mind. The Bible says, verse 3, and desired favors against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, land wait in the way to kill him. Listen, 2 years done passed, but they still got killing him on their mind. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able to go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. Festus is pretty smart here. He said, rather than transferring the prisoner, because that was one way they used to bump off prisoners, is in the transfer. Don't you remember right here in Dallas, Lee Harvey Oswald? That's how they got him when they was transferring him. Jack Ruby just walked right through the line there and bumped him on off. As a matter of fact, don't you remember we read earlier that they had said that this was one of the ways that they wanted to kill Paul, is in the transfer. And so Felix, Festus here is saying, no, if y'all want to have the trial, just follow me on back to Caesarea. So verse 6, and when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. They didn't give Paul much time to prepare for the trial, did they? The next day. If you was getting ready to go through a trial, you would want at least some preparation time, don't you think? Amen. Rather than somebody saying, hey, tomorrow we're going to have your trial. That's a case of injustice right there. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about and laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Well, they need to throw it on out. They need to throw the case on out. If they can't prove nothing. Hello, somebody. This to me seemed to be a case of injustice, which he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all, but Festus willing to do the Jews a pleasure. Oh, Lord, we got some people, please, up in the house. Answered Paul and said, will thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Wait a minute. You're right here. Why do we have to leave? Why is we got to have a change of vineyard? We ain't having no new judge. You still going to be judged. Did it say before me? That's what he said, didn't it? Is that what your Bible said? He said, why don't we go to Jerusalem and you appear before me? No, I'm already appearing before you. Hello, somebody. Oh, it seemed like there's a dirty rat in the house. Look. And Paul done sniffed out this rat. Look at verse 10. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well know. For if I be offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof thou accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. He said, I'm taking this to the Supreme Court. I'm going to take this to Caesar, since I can't get no justice down here. Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, answered, has thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shall thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. So they're going through some protocol here. Festus is the new governor, and so we got the king of the Jews, Judea, who is King Agrippa, and then Bernice, the queen. Wait a minute. Bernice, who is Bernice? Bernice is his sister. But she the queen. Normally isn't a wife queen. Now, y'all know about Agrippa now. His granddaddy was King Agrippa in Jesus' day. Remember, the granddaddy tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby boy. You know, he told the wise man, when y'all find that baby, let me know, because I want to come and worship him. But the wise man, the Bible says, went on home another way. And when he saw that he was tricked, he went and killed all of the babies, 2 years and younger. And you know who his daddy was? His daddy was the same one that killed James over in Acts chapter 12, and he thought that he was such a wonderful speaker. You know, folks and them start saying, oh, man, he must be a god or something. And the Bible says that the angel came and struck him down dead, and the worms got him. And so now we see his son Agrippa is now on the throne. But he's just like his granddaddy and just like his daddy. Because, see, historians say, the word out on the street, in other words, y'all, is Agrippa and Bernice are lovers. I told y'all some strange things be going on in the White House. Yeah, you have to watch them people in high places. And the Bible says they came down to salute Festus to show their respect. And the Bible says in verse number 14, and when they had been there many days, Festus declared, Paul calls unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix. So now look how they're treating Paul. They're treating Paul like he's just leftovers. Did y'all catch that? There's a certain man that's left in bond by Felix, just some leftovers. We don't care that much for leftovers. Not even with food. You don't care that much for leftovers. Hello, somebody. Unless it's some well-seasoned beans. You know, the well-seasoned beans, they taste better the next day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. But if it's just some fish, it's hard to warm up some fried fish. Hello, somebody. Let me go on a little bit further. The Bible says, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such thing, I suppose, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Say, the only thing they had on this man is this man, they said that he going around preaching about a dead Jesus that who's no longer dead, but he's alive. He said, that's the only thing I can find that's sticking on this man. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem that there be judge of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow, said he. Thou shalt hear him. Oh, now look at the glory, y'all. Verse 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entering into the place of hearing, when the chief captain and the principal men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought out. Do you see? They got a parade of stars coming up in here. They got Agrippa and his entourage, and then they got Bernice and all of the officials that take care of the queen. And I mean, they was decked out. I mean, this is the pomp and circumstances here. Amen. You know, when you get ready to graduate, you graduate with pomp and circumstance. Every graduation I went to, they play pomp and circumstance. Amen. Play pomp and circumstance. Hey, this was a lot of pomp and circumstances. No doubt the horns was blowing and stuff, the trumpets and blowing. Here come the king. Here come the king. I mean, they was coming with a lot of pomp and circumstances. I mean, this was a big thing coming up in here. And the Bible says, and Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitudes of the Jews have dealt with me both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. Now think about it. All these folks, they dressed up in some nice clothes and stuff, and Paul is there in chain, in prisoner's clothes, in chains. And they say, you see this man, you see this fella. And I done tried him out, but I'm gonna try him before you, verse 25. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, why you won't let him go? And that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I had determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing, watch this, y'all, to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination, had I might have somewhat to write. For it seemed to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not withal to signify the crime laid against him. He said, we're coming together today to examine the Apostle Paul because he want to go to Caesar and have a trial there, but I don't know what the charges is. So we got to try to figure out what the charges is. I can't send this man to Caesar without having some credible charges. This, to me, is a case, ladies and gentlemen, of injustice at its worst. Notice they done arrested a man on false charges. They done had trial after trial after trial without having any credible charges. Now they're getting ready to send him to Caesar, but they got to try to come up with some charges in order to send him to Caesar. This is the case of injustice. And then it took him 2 years to get to this point. His justice has been delayed as well as denied. But you know, the sad thing about this story is being repeated even in our day and age today. Justice for many people is being delayed. You know, the Constitution says that as American citizens, we have a right to a speedy trial. But you can set in jail for months. You can sit in jail for years. You can sit in jail 5, 10 years, and still nothing is done. Justice is being delayed as well as being denied. Oh, you know, our country today is still talking about that situation there in Jefferson, Missouri. Think about it now. A man supposedly have his hands up and surrendering to the police. But the police go ahead and empty his gun. The police
sent down the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
And down.